A wastewater treatment plant is more like your home than you might realize. Like your house, it needs to be protected against flooding and storm surges during hurricanes, both of which are expected to get worse as sea levels rise. To demonstrate, we'll go inside lawyer Albert Slapp's garage at his home in Key Biscayne.
See, I have most of the stuff on pallets.
Slapp's important to this story for other reasons, but we'll get to that in a moment.
If this was a wastewater treatment plant, what would the pallets be?
Elevation. Elevating equipment to get it out of the flood zone.
So these water-filled sandbags, these reusable sandbags, would be like what?
Like a seawall.
And then the stormproof glass that you have around your doors.
The hardening of the control room.
Those are the kind of protections against sea level rise that a local environmental group says are missing from the deal the county has worked out with the EPA. That's one reason why Biscayne Bay Waterkeeper is suing Miami-Dade. Slapp represents the environmental group in the lawsuit. On the island between Slapp's Key Biscayne home and the Miami mainland is one of the three wastewater treatment plants at the center of the controversy. Not only is the Virginia Key wastewater treatment plant on a small barrier island, it's also around 60 years old.
So it doesn't smell that bad here.
Treatment plant's working today.
Doug Yoder is the deputy director of the Miami-Dade Water and Sewer Department. He says the county will still fortify its wastewater treatment plants against rising waters, even though it's not explicitly written into its agreement with the EPA, called a consent decree.
EPA has no specific requirements, no rules, no guidelines, no standards associated with sea level rise or climate change.
According to Yoder, the EPA does have a set of recommendations for preparing for rising seas, but that's a far cry from policy. If this project fell under another federal agency, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the situation would be very different. The Corps' current policy, which dates back to 2009, requires its projects to be designed to withstand higher waters based on sea level rise projections laid out by the Corps. In other words, it's not a recommendation, it's a rule. Kathleen White is with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. She says the failure of the Corps' levee system around New Orleans during Katrina pushed the agency to develop a more robust policy for rising seas. White thinks Hurricane Sandy may do the same for the rest of the country because of where it came ashore.
The economic implications of Sandy expanded far beyond the Northeast. For Sandy, it said, for every $1 spent on the coastal storm risk infrastructure now could have saved over $12 if it had been spent before Sandy. That's money, but it's also lives.
State and local governments don't have to wait for the feds to take action. That's according to Daniel Suman with University of Miami's Rosenstiel School of Marine and Atmospheric Science.
I think we have some good examples regarding air pollution and carbon reduction programs in some states because we don't have action at the federal level, but yet California has taken some steps and is really leading the national effort now.
But in absence of strict rules, what happens? The Florida Department of Transportation is revamping a major thoroughfare in Miami Beach, Alton Road. That project includes sea level rise projections in its design plans, even though the department does not have a specific policy for it, an instance where an agency took it upon itself to plan for higher seas. However, trust is not enough for Biscayne Bay Waterkeeper when it comes to Miami-Dade's wastewater treatment plants. Albert Slapp says they want a rule.
We want the protections built into the decree and enforceable in federal court. We don't want to just take the county's word for it.
If there's no settlement, the trial is scheduled to begin in January. I'm Ariana Prothero in Miami.